know a lot of events have been canceled already that's coming up in the summertime, but one that everybody looks forward to is Pride Fest. And of course, that has been postponed. Joining us is Chicago Pride Fest chairperson. He also is part of LKH management. He has Hydrate Replay in Andersonville, and he also has Elixir. And he's a big part of Pride Fest and Market Days, a real important leader for the neighborhood. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Gee, it's good to hear your voice. How are you doing?
How have you been hanging in there? I know this is tough, right?
I wouldn't call it the highlight of my year, no.
Wow. And Mark.
And that music, the lead-in music was perfect, by the way.
Well, we can thank producer Jasmine for that. So, Mark Lieberson, you've got several businesses. One of them is still currently open. What's going on?
Yeah, so we have a Replay in Lakeview that is a bar only, and we also have Elixir and Hydrate, our dance club in Lakeview. Those are all closed. In Andersonville, Elixir is closed, but Replay, which also serves food, is still open. And actually, we're doing an incredible amount of people ordering to-go food, things that they love, whether it's nachos, whether it's smoked chicken thighs or hamburgers. And, you know, people want something, I think, to give them a little bit of comfort, things that they miss. I've heard from people who their kids are saying they want to go to Replay, and so they're bringing them in our food and having a game night at home, which I think is awesome.
I can attest that Replay has excellent nachos. So since you are open for delivery and takeout, I highly recommend it. But you do have a caveat to this. You have a tip that if you're going to order from...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
This is, I mean, it's actually something that most people don't realize. And first off, every restaurant owner, every small business owner, you know, we're all in very dire straits right now. And so we appreciate all of our customers, people who think about keeping the businesses alive in their community. You're making a huge difference when you do order from your neighborhood businesses. And now, from what I understand, we're going to be able to order from retail as well, which is huge because everybody needs the support. But especially with restaurants, people don't realize it. You go onto your Grubhub app and you pick out where you're going to order from. That restaurant ends up paying 30% basically of the money that you're paying to Grubhub. And if you stop and think about that,
right,
restaurants really don't make a lot of money. And the people who are doing to-go orders, these have always been a small part of what our business is. Now it's the only business that we have. If you go to the website directly for a restaurant, like if you went to replayandersonville.com and hit the Grubhub app there,
gotcha,
we only get charged 10%. 10%, 20% less. That's huge. Please go to the websites of your favorite restaurants and select the delivery link there if you want delivery, or call the restaurant and do pickup. Everybody is being very careful about creating safe pickup situations in their restaurants. And I think there's a lot of opportunity to make a difference and not have to cook at home every day, because, I mean, how many days do you really want to cook three meals a day?
Right. I actually need that little no-contact interaction with the person delivering my food. You know, we make eye contact from behind the mask, so that's very helpful. But I think this is very important, Mark. So what you're saying is, instead of going directly to the Grubhub website, go to the restaurant's website that you're trying to order from, and somewhere on that website will be a link of where you can order takeout or delivery, and that's where you want to
cook. If you want takeout, call the restaurant directly. If you want to do delivery, that's my recommendation. If you want delivery, go to the restaurant's website. They'll have delivery available there. You click the link there. You have now helped to keep that restaurant in business longer, because the current programming, the PPP, which everybody has been talking about so much, there's a backstory there that people don't really understand. You know, it's not something that has been created to save our small business community. It's unfortunately, it was great that the government worked so hard to roll something out quickly. But there's a reality of it that, for example, if I take the money from the PPP, and if you're one of the lucky people that got it, because it was, you know, way underfunded to start,
right,
based on the amount of damage in the economy. If you take that money and you spend 75% of it on labor, the amount of money that you have left over for rent and utilities is negligible. And that only covers you for 8 weeks. You have to spend all that money in 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. Well, do we honestly think that the bars and restaurants of Chicago are going to be open and fully functioning in 8 weeks? So this is what's occurring. And so the small businesses are in pretty dire straits. And I'm very afraid, G, that we're going to lose a lot of our favorite restaurants and bars and small businesses if we don't start to get some legislation that's really designed to ensure that everyone's going to be here for the future.
I've been hearing that from a lot of restaurant owners, small business owners, about where the origination clock for that 8 weeks starts. And it starts right away as soon as you get the loan versus when you open the restaurant. And that's been a huge problem. You're so well connected. You've been in business and you're such an upstanding citizen and give back to the community. Have you been in touch with the politicians? What have they been saying? I know that this was some of the things we wanted to fix in this next rollout of the PPP. And they did add more money to the account.
You know, I think that is, first off, our politicians have not really done a great job of being able to work together historically.
Right.
And I think when you have a program if you have a business, let's just say that you have a business that is not closed, but your volume is down. You're running a medical facility, or you have some other type of business, but you're not seeing the people. It could be a small grocery or something. You may be really benefit from that. You know, for us,
right?
Until we're open, we don't really benefit because we're basically. So you have the employees. Our employees are on unemployment right now. So they're all getting unemployment, and they're getting the extra $600 from the federal government. So the employees are cared for. If I take them right now, so my PPP loan started on Monday, and so I take them all off of unemployment and put them onto our payroll so mm-hmm. they can sit at home. They're basically still just getting their money from the federal government. We go in and we get the loan forgiven. But what have we actually accomplished for the small business? Because in 8 weeks, we have to lay everyone off again. Mm-hmm. And then we also have used up that money.
Right.
So now that money is no longer available for when we finally do open. You know, gee, the reality is that when we do open, it's not like they're going to say we can just let everybody back in.
That's true.
You know, it'll be much less people in a restaurant. And that's when we're going to need the money to be able to try to open. And in the interim, thankfully, some of us have had great landlords that have worked with us to be able to make adjustments to our rent or spread it so that it's in the future. But others haven't.
Yeah.
And you keep reading. If you read Eater, if you read any of the blogs on what's going on in the restaurant industry, I think Chicago is such a great dining city.
Oh.
And I don't know about you, but the first thing I can't wait to do is get out of the house and get to a restaurant or a bar.
Absolutely. I'm right there with you. Yes, and I do think that Chicago is one of the best restaurant cities in the world, one of the best food cities. So, yeah, I'm hoping that not too many have to close, but I think you're right. And, of course, you're a industry insider.
Well, the people listening to you can make a difference if they contact their politicians, especially the federal politicians who are really creating a lot of this legislation and say, you know, we want to save our restaurants. We want to save our bars. We want to save the small businesses that are closed from this, you know, crisis and have them here for the future. They need to restructure and listen to us about what it is that we need so that we can stay here in our communities and be here for the future. That's what we're all praying for.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mark. Let's talk a little bit about Pride. It's not enough that you run a lot of these businesses, but you also are a big part. You're a Chicago Pride Fest chairperson. You're a big part of Market Days as well. What's going on? I know that you've had to postpone it.
You know, it's been really a stressful process because I chair Pride Fest and I chair Market Days, and I also co-chair in Andersonville Midsummer Fest.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have been trying to shuffle the schedules and keep hope because at the end of the day, we have to stay positive. We have to recognize that at some point we're all going to get our lives back. And so we keep, you know, moving things forward in the hope that we're going to be able to unite together. We don't know if it'll happen, but for Pride, we've moved the actual festival till Labor Day weekend tentatively in our heads, and then we'll have to wait and see what the city and the governor say at that point and what the medical experts say. But till then, at least we can have something to hope for and look forward to. And we also have market days coming up in August, and we've moved Andersonville's Midsummerfest to August. So we're all having hope. And the nice thing that we can think about is that the greatest scientific minds in the world are all united together right now. That almost never, I mean, that never happens.
Right.
And to me, that gives me hope that the timeline for being able to find effective means of treatment that we can rely upon and hopefully a vaccine will happen sooner than later. But we'll have to see how it all plays out, you know. I don't think we know.
Right. But, you know, hopefully this will just be postponed and not completely canceled, because, I mean, this is huge. This brings revenue in for the neighborhoods in a way that, you know, it's unseen. It's not, you know, it doesn't happen the rest of the year. You really rely on this time period.
The neighborhood festivals in our city are so critical to the small business community in our city. We look forward to seeing the customers, and we look forward to seeing the people that we know, but we also depend upon, you know, their spending in our businesses for the future. And in the gay community, the whole concept of pride and being able to have the celebration surrounding what was once a protest and is now a celebration of who it is that we are and our position as being members of society that we weren't allowed to be before. This has a lot of history, and I will tell you this much: regardless of the change in date, the date that we celebrate Pride, you know, which is all marked with when the tradition began in New York, when the first mm-hmm. protest began, which really was the marking of the Pride movement, the Stonewall riots and whatnot. We're going to have something. It's going to be virtual, but we're going to have something, and perhaps we'll be able to unite with other cities and really create, you know, an opportunity for us to still celebrate our pride and to be able to say, you know, we're excited that we're part of our community. We're excited that we're part of, you know, society, and for those in society who will celebrate us, to be able to all gather together, even if we're apart, we can still be together.
Mark Lieberson, you're giving me a lot of hope. Before I let you go, tell me about this really cool Quarren Kiki.
Oh, that's my craziest thing. So this is reality. The week when we closed, it was all so unexpected. Although we saw things happening, and it was all so fast because we really weren't getting very good information, unfortunately, as you know, the news behind it from our government about what actually was occurring. And suddenly my management team, we had an emergency meeting, and we were like, everybody was getting, this is before the city shut down the bars and restaurants. We decided we were closing because we didn't feel safe doing what we were doing because it was too unknown. And we said, okay, we're going to close. We're going to, you know, the employees mm-hmm. will have to go on unemployment. It's going to be a convoluted mess. And at that point, there wasn't even the opportunity to put people on unemployment and know they were going to get extra money from the government. It was all happening so quickly. And we ended up closing, and we said, okay, let's raise money for the staff to help people to make sure that our family will survive. And we created a dance party. I was talking to one of the great international DJs, Joe Gotro, and I said to Joe, would you mind doing an event with us? And he said, yes. So we created this 2-hour party, and we had like almost 1,000 people log on with us. And we realized there was something there. It was uniting people. We had people from Brazil. We had people logging in from all over the world, from Asia and from Israel. It was really fascinating.
So cool.
And so, it was something, and what was great is we're doing it on Zoom, and we're running it like a live TV show. And so people are dancing in their homes. There's costumes. It's really, it's the gay pride parade on the television.
Well, that's awesome. Where do we go to sign up? What website?
Well, if you go to the HydrateChicago.com site, you can log in, and you'll be able to click a link to either watch the party, which will take you to our Twitch channel, or to be part of the party. If you want to get your hats on and get on screen, that happens on Zoom. So you can click either link, and we start at 8:30. We have interviews with DJs, and we've expanded it now. Last week, we actually were on for 8.5 hours.
Wow.
And we had tens of thousands of people come in from all around the world, and it was really amazing.
Aww.
The interviews start at 8:30, and then at 9 o'clock, the first DJ goes on. This week, we have interviews beforehand at 8:30 with a huge DJ out of Israel, a DJ out of Mexico, and a DJ out of Los Angeles.
Awesome.
And then after that, we go to the music, and we have, again, two gigantic Brazilian DJs, and then one of the biggest producers out of Israel is going to be concluding the night before we go into our late night with a DJ out of New York. It's just amazing how the community comes together over it.
Awesome. Thank
and
you.
They're all,
oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and then people are donating online, because you have to realize there was talk of all the 1099 employees. And when I say 1099 employees, I mean the artists, performers, people who work inside of so many industries. And even like if you stop and think about it, probably the Uber drivers and people mm-hmm. that we're dependent on, they were supposed to be protected.
Right.
And they haven't been so far. So we're now donating, because our employees are on unemployment, we're now donating this money that we raise to the people who have not been taken care of yet.
Well,
and so the funds are going to support the drag queens, the dancers, the people who are running.
I love it. A little taste of Pride right now. Just go to HydrateChicago.com. Thanks so much to Chicago Pride Fest chairperson Mark Lieberson. Really appreciate you being with us, Mark, and you take care, okay?
Gee, you have a wonderful evening. Thanks so much for inviting me. I'll look forward to seeing you on the patio. Last time I saw you having a beer.
Absolutely.
We got to do it again.
Absolutely. You take care of yourself. Thank you so much.